You're with Sounds Good, and I'm Chad Lampe, joined in the studio by Kate Lochte and Dale Lace, and they're here to talk about some really great work.
Well, you know, any time that you have a retrospective of an artist's works spanning 40 years, in your case, 1973 to 2013, you need three venues, don't you? That's a lot of work, and how lucky we all are to have a retrospective show that will be at the Yeiser Art Center, the Ruth Bagot Gallery, and at Maiden Alley Cinema in Paducah. And it's a rolling opening Saturday night. How are you going to be in all these places from 5 to 7? You're just going to keep hopping?
Well, I plan to get to Ruth's gallery between 4 and 4:30. I already talked to her about that, and spend a little bit of time there. And then I'll be with my daughters. They're going to be my chauffeurs. They're going to drive me to the municipal parking lot at the end of Broadway. And then we'll walk over to the Maiden Alley, spend a little bit of time there, and then walk over to the Yeiser and be there by 5. And I'll be staying there from 5 to 7.
Tell me about your daughters.
I have two daughters. My oldest daughter, Alorna, is a chiropractor, and she's married to another chiropractor, and they have two sons. My youngest daughter is a nurse. She works here at Callaway Hospital is what I'm trying to say, Murray Callaway County Hospital. And her husband lives here in town, too. They have two sons, and my grandsons will be there, so it'll be a family event.
You've recently had a grandbaby.
Yes, he's a little over a year old now.
Congratulations. Well, we're here because you're probably the most revered drawing teacher in the region, having taught drawing for 25 years at Murray State University.
37.
37? Oops.
That's okay.
So you came here when you were in diapers.
I was 24.
And you'd already had a long period of time drawing. I mean, you've been a drawer all your life.
I can't remember when I haven't been drawing. It's just a natural thing for me.
Yeah. And you draw, your drawing practice is, you must wake up incredibly early because you're usually at Murray State 6 a.m., would
yeah.
you say?
Yeah, sometimes a little after that. I get up about 4:17. That's what I set my clock to. And sometimes I sleep until like 5. And so I like to get to the drawing lab, if I can, an hour before class starts. My Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes start at 7:30. Tuesday, Thursday at 8. It just takes me a while to get the room set up and orientate to what I want to do, check my email and send out emails and play some music.
Mm-hmm. Now, the retrospective is going to be both your studio work and your on-site work.
Yes, that's right. The Maiden Alley is going to have the on-site work, and Ruth will have 30 studio drawings, and the Yeiser will have 58 studio drawings.
Have you always done on-site, or are we just aware of them starting, say, 2007, is it?
The first on-site drawing that I have documented on my website goes from 1988, and then most recently this past summer in the Czech Republic and in Prague. But the history of that goes back even further. When I was in junior high school, I had an enlightened art teacher who later became my high school art teacher. And I took summer classes with him, and he took his class out to a location that featured a river and some trees hanging over the bank of the river, and had us paint with casein paint on cardboard. And I thought, boy, this is fun. And so I never really stopped doing that. I never really talked about it. I never really shared any of that. But then when I moved here and I encountered the land between the lakes. Even though I moved here in 77, it wasn't until the late 80s that I started doing that on-site at LBL. And then eventually when I started traveling out west, I started doing it there. And then eventually when I went to Italy and recently to the Czech Republic, I'm drawing there. So it's been a really interesting journey to go to all these different locations and to experience them by drawing them.
It slows you down a bit?
Not really. I mean, it might have to stay in one place to make the drawing, mm-hmm. but the drawing has to be made pretty fast and furious because the light conditions are always changing and, you know, you're under constant surveillance by all the other people who are walking around you. But I'm pretty used to it, and I like it that way.
So when you're in the zone with a drawing, it must feel like another world. Many of your studio drawings are somewhat otherworldly.
I think so, too. Yeah, it is like that. And this past Saturday, I hadn't had a chance to do much drawing. I'd been busy getting ready for the exhibits. But this past Saturday, I went into the studio. It was a beautiful day. I really didn't want to be inside, but went into the studio. It was about maybe 12:30 in the early afternoon. And I didn't stop until about 10:15 that evening. And Tracy was playing some really great music at the time, but I just had to go and get something to eat. So, well, that's true. Here we are at KMS, and I play KMS all the time when I'm drawing.
Well, I want to reiterate that we're talking with Dale Lays, and if you don't know him, his name is L-E-Y-S, and you can see some really interesting video and archival material about your career and your process of drawing at dalelays.com. Made with the help of Wayne Bates.
Well, Wayne is the architect of the website.
Yeah, which is a wonderful a cross-pollination of artists working together. Let's go back to your mark-making and how you came to own the variety of marks that we love to see in your work.
Well, since I've been drawing for a long time, I've drawn a lot of different things. Most of the things that interest me are nature-based forms, because even architectural forms such as stone and masonry are affected by the world we live in terms of the natural elements. So I've been doing this ever since I was a little kid, drawing animal skulls and pieces of wood and bone, and it never really stopped. And then when I went to art school and I learned more about what drawing was, and I learned about drawing the figure, more complicated things, I just kept acquiring more and more different ways of making marks, and it became a goal of mine to try to find different marks that I was not familiar with, that I hadn't seen before. And that started the whole process, and I still think like that. I'm always looking for something that I haven't seen before, and sometimes I think I find it, sometimes I'm not really sure, but it's always there out in front of me as something that is a motivating factor. So that way you can see drawing as a language, and you're just acquiring more words, more inflections with the same words. And I think that's an important issue in learning drawing for anyone.
I think you've probably shared this story with others, but I just heard it for the first time today about your illustrious past history as a pinball wizard.
And I've told a few people about that. I guess I'm going to tell a lot of people now.
Well, just to the point of how you see a drawing.
Well, when I was a teenager and drinking age in Wisconsin was 18 at the time, and they had lots of pinball machines. And when I was like 18, 19, 20, and maybe even 21, but mostly late teens, friends and I would, when we get paid, we'd get a roll of dimes from the bank, still in the paper wrappers, and we go to our favorite pinball machine and set the whole roll down on the glass, and people knew that we were going to be there for a while. So I got interested in pinball because the object of pinball is that you don't want the ball to drain. So you're dealing with basically a rectangle. It's covered in glass, but it's a rectangle. And so there you go. You've got the analogy of a piece of paper, which could be a rectangle. And a rectangle has four sides. So the artist Kandinsky once said, well, your first mark is your fifth mark because you already got the first four. So the idea is that all the marks you make have to somehow interrelate with those first four remaining marks, not just once, not just twice, but all the time. Because if they don't, then what happens is that the energy that you're trying to create in your drawing drains, just like a pinball machine. You've got to keep watching that ball. You've got to keep it in play. So when you're in the zone playing pinball, you don't really know what's going on. You're just sort of watching it, and you're just kind of going with the rhythm of it. Drawing is a lot like that. And my brag is that I have four pinball machines that I turned over in my illustrious career.
That's pretty cool. And I think if you... for those of us who've had the fortune, good fortune, to see your art, it resonates. The fact that there's just a lot of places for the eye to travel with your marks, including a structure. There's usually an environment in the piece. And then there are images sort of drawn to the environment, either within or aside that.
Mm-hmm. I always see images inside of images. I've always thought like that. And I never don't see that. It's always ever present. So I don't really know how to see things in any other way. But the structure is, for me, important. I try to have a simple structure because I know that my tendency will be to complicate things, to make things very active and have lots of competing imagery going on. So if I have a simple structure, something just basic, the chances are that all of that information then could be held together.
I got it.
Good.
The other thing that I've mentioned, and I don't know, Chad, if you've had a chance to see Dale's work, is that the pigmentation and the marking is obviously very layered, but it all looks fresh. And as just a neophyte draftsperson, it seems to me like you can get the paper looking kind of messy and abused, but you don't do that, despite the workingness of it.
Well,
and that's because you're good. I know that. But how did you get that good?
I do a lot of drawing. And you also become a master of your materials because you make many, many blunders. And then you have to figure out, oh, how am I going to get out of this one? And so then you have to fix it. And my drawings are nothing more than a combination of all their fixed mistakes.
You said that before, and none of us believe it.
That's true. Because you take a shot at something and it doesn't work out, well, then you got to do something about that. And so then you either incorporate it into the existing scheme of things or you change it.
So when do you know that you've completed a drawing?
That's a really good question. I have a rule of threes. Every square inch is understood by me. And it doesn't mean I have to put a mark in it, but it means that it has to be understood. It doesn't mean that it even has to contain anything other than space, but it has to be understood. So as I'm drawing, I come across this particular inch, this particular square inch or area, and I look at it and I alter it according to what I think it needs to be. And then I move on and I go to another place, and I move on and I go to another place, and I apply that same rule. Eventually, I'll get back to one of those other places that I've already considered, and I'll say, oh, two. That's the second time I've been there. And then I'll move on, and I'll change it if I think I need to change it. I'll alter it if I think I need to alter it. And I'll move on, and so on, and so on. And eventually, I'll get back to another place that I've already looked at twice. And I look at it, and now it's number three, and I'll say, oh, three. And then I'll change it if I think I need to change it or alter it or whatever I have to do. And then I move on, and I keep going and keep going. I get back to that another place, and it's a place I've already considered three times. And I say, all right, well, how do you feel about it? And if it passes the rule of threes, that area is complete, and I move on.
Now, as we draw close to the end of this interview, and we're doing this interview, by the way, because we haven't ever done an interview with you, and it's been a long time.
Yeah, guess not.
And there is a huge opening this weekend, Saturday from 5 to 7. The Way of a Path is one of the images you'll see with this retrospective 1973 to 2013 of the studio and on-site drawings by Dale Daniel Lays at Yeiser Art Center, the Ruth Bagot Gallery, and Maiden Alley Cinema. I've almost lost my train of thought. I know what I wanted to ask you. You work constantly.
Well, I try to, but sometimes if I'm traveling or if I'm really busy with things like this show, for instance, it interrupts that. And interruptions happen, and you just go with it.
But when you're not distracted, you are a dedicated working person.
I draw every day.
Yeah. How do you stay fit?
Well, I used to be a runner. For 31 years, I was a runner, so I still have the residual effects of that one. And I do work out with lightweights every morning, and I don't eat a lot of junk food. In fact, none. And I walk a lot. I have a very high metabolism anyway, so I just burn everything off.
You ever get shoulder or arm soreness?
No.
Excellent. Yeah. It would seem to me that you would.
Well, I have arthritis in my drawing hand, but it feels just fine when I'm drawing because it's, crinkled up in a drawing position. But I can't extend the hand like I used to be able to when I was young.
Yeah. Well, I hope that you and your daughters have a wonderful time Saturday night. I know all of your viewers will, and thank you for being with us on Sounds Good.
Thank you, Kate.